Okay. We find ourselves now in the days prior to the Yemei HaPurim. Tomorrow night is already at Aleph, which is the first day that the Mishnah says that one may read the Megillah. Thursday is Tainus Esther, and this Shabbos is not only Parshas Tetzaveh, but it is also Shabbos Parshas Zohar, the only Kriya which is biblical. Min HaTorah, we have to hear from a Sefer Torah Kosher. It is also Erev Purim, and it is also Yud Gimel Adar, which was the day in which the Venahapachu occurs, in which instead of Chas V'Shalom Haman's plot becoming reality, the Hashmid Laharog, the Abedis Kol Yehudim in Avi Adzoka, and Venahapachu Asher Yishlatu Yehudim Hema Bisonehim. And that's this Shabbos, that's Yud Gimel Adar, which the Gemara refers to Yud Gimel Adar as Man Kehila Lakoil. Normally, in a regular year like this, meaning a Shana Pshuta, no year is regular, but a Shana Pshuta, when it's not a leap year, Tetzaveh is the Shabbos, the parasha that takes us into Purim. This year, especially right into Purim, because it's Erev Purim. Parashas Tetzaveh, as we know, is the only parasha since the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu until Sefer Devarim that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned once in this parasha, although most of what occurs in this parasha had to be done through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what makes it so noticeable that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not here. It's not like as if this parasha does not speak of anything that has to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, the first word is Va'ata, and you. So that refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. And you shall command the Bnei Yisrael. And then after that, Va'ata hakrei ve'lecha es Aharon achicha. And again, throughout the entire Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who is inaugurating the Aaron and the Kohanim into Kahuna. And yet, his name is not mentioned even once, and there are many, many answers to it. One, Moshe Rabbeinu would be embarrassed because in this parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is initiating Aaron and his sons into the Kahuna, which Moshe Rabbeinu was really supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, which he lost because of a seven-day delay. As we learn in Parashat Shemos, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go to redeem the Jewish people, and he refuses, and therefore he loses the kahuna. So in order not to embarrass him, his name is not here. That's one teretz given by some mefarshim. The common known teretz is that of the Balaturim, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mechenina. Moshe Rabbeinu said, erase my name after Chet HaEgel, and even though the Tanai that Moshe Rabbeinu made was Ve'im Ayin, Mechenina Misifrucha Asher Kosofta, and Hashem did forgive Klal Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu's name should not be erased. Nevertheless, Kilavas Chochem Afilu Al Tanai Hiba, which means that if a Chochem, a Tzaddik, utters a curse, even on a condition, the curse occurs somewhat. And Hashem then fulfilled Moshe Rabbeinu's request of Mechenina in Parshas Tetzaveh. Mechenina Misifrucha Asher Kosofta, Asher is Begematria Tetzaveh. But why is it in Parshas Tetzaveh? If anything, it should be the parsha after Kisisa, where it says Mechenina. It should be Vayakel, if anything. The next parsha. Why is it the parsha before? Parshas Tetzaveh is a, if we can use the word strange, is a strange parsha because it's very different than any other parsha. Number one, there are many psukim in Tetzaveh that don't belong in this parsha. The whole parsha really is totally out of order. The first part of the parasha, Va'ata Tetzaveh es Bnei Yisrael v'yikhu elechot shem en zayezach, doesn't belong here. What is it doing here in the middle of discussing the Klei HaMishkan and the Big Day Kahuna? And even according to those Mefarshim who say that it's a Hemshech to Truma, because in Truma we learn about the menorah, then it should be right after we talk about the menorah. After it says V'yosisa menorah zohav tohar, we come to the end, it should say Va'ata Tetzaveh es Bnei Yisrael v'yikhu elechot shem en zayezach, which will be used for the menorah. We finished talking about the Klei HaMishkan, and before going into Big Day Kahuna, there's an interruption here where it says, V'yata Tetzaveh es Bnei Yisrael. Rashi in Emor says that this doesn't belong here at all. The real parsha of the Neiros, of the Shem and Zayis, is in Parsha's Emor, where it says, Tetzaveh es Bnei Yisrael, almost the exact, identical pasuk. Tetzaveh es Bnei Yisrael, V'yikhu elech Hashem and Zayis, Och Kosis Lamor. There Rashi says, Zu Parsha's Mitzvahs HaNeiros. Upashas Ve'ata Tetzaveh Loinemra Ela al seder malachas ha-mishkan. And that doesn't belong over there. It's only said because there it talks about the Mishkan. V'chein mashma v'ata sofach l'tzavel sel b'nei Yisrael. Eventually you will command the b'nei Yisrael about that. And that's in Parshas Emor. So Rashi clearly tells us that these psukim don't belong here. So why is it here? Number one. Then if you go to Sheni, it talks about the mishpitzos. Those were the golden settings that were placed on the shoulder straps of the ephod. The pasuk says, "V'yasisa mishpitzai zohav, u'shetei sharsharai zohav tohor," and two golden-like chains that were attached to the end of the choshen, that were attached to these golden settings to keep the choshen from falling down, so it's connected to the ephod. These two psukim, Rashi says, don't belong here either. Rashi says, "Ve'ein v'nasata ha'omer kan loshon sivui." When it says here v'nasata es sharsharai so avoysai al hamishpitzos, it's not at Sivui, El Loshon Osid. It means later. Later, when we get to the Choshen, you'll see why these settings and these chains were necessary. And then he says that it doesn't really belong here. But Nichtav Kan, El Lahodia, Mitzas, Tzorech, HaMishpitzois, Shetziva, Lassos, Im Ho'efer. It's only written over here that you should know. Later, we're going to learn about the chains and these settings that are in the Eifel have to do with the chains that we're going to read about in the Choshen later on. Here again, we have psukim that are out of order. They don't belong here. Rashi himself says they don't belong here. And the truth of the matter is, this entire parasha really is out of order, because it talks about the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, which was the 7 days of inauguration, in which Aaron and his sons become Kohanim, and the Mishkan was put up and taken apart during those 7 days. We don't know anything about the Mishkan really, even though we learned about it last week, but the whole purpose of the Mishkan was to bring about a kapara for the Chet Ha'egel. Chet Ha'egel didn't even happen yet. According to Rashi, these two parashas, actually, not just Tetzaveh, but Truma as well, are written out of order. Because really, Kisisa was first. The Egel was first, and then came the Tzivoy to build the Mishkan and to weave the Big Day Kahuna. But we go through the psukim of the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, we have many times the word kapara being used. Kapara for what? This is after Matan Torah, the Jews haven't sinned yet. There's no reason that there should be any atonement. It's only because of Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel is first the next parasha. So this is also out of order. Then what's really out of order here, besides, is the last topic of the parasha. The last topic talks about the Mizbeach HaKetores. It almost sounds like as if we forgot to mention the Mizbeach HaKetores in Parashas Truma, so we remind ourselves here, which obviously is not the case. As Mefarshim ask, why are all the Klei HaMishkan in Truma, but not this one? This one is said here at the end of Tetzaveh. This is not one of the Big Day Kahuna. This is also a Keli. This is the Mizbeach HaKetores, which is even on a higher level than the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. If anything, this should also be mentioned, and perhaps even first it should be mentioned. And in Parshas Truma, it's not mentioned. And it's interesting, in Vayakhel, there the Torah mentions all the Klei HaMishkan in one parsha, and there it says the Mizbeach HaKetores before the Mizbeach HaOla. Because in the order of sanctity, the Mizbeach HaKetores is first. Yet, in Truma, it's not mentioned, and it's only mentioned here, and it's mentioned here at the end. And when we come to the very end of the parsha, where it says that the Mizbeach HaKetores was used for the incense, and it was burnt at the same time that Aaron would light the menorah. So, and the pasuk says you should not burn any foreign incense on this mizbeach. It's also not to be used for any burnt offerings of flour offerings or pourings of wine. But one time during the year, Aaron will atone. He will use the blood of the sin offering of Yom Kippur that will be placed on the corners, on the protrusions in the corner of this mizbeach, this mizbeach haketores, once a year, yechaper al v'doroseichem. When is that? That's Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur has not been mentioned yet in the Chumash. We don't even know anything about Yom Kippur. We only know so far about the Sholosh Regalim that were mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim. We know it in Parshas Boi. Of course, there's a Pesach. And we were introduced to Shavuos and Sukkos. Yom Kippur, Man Dechar Shemei. No one ever spoke about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not really discussed until Parshas Acharimos and Emor, which is in Sefer Vayikra, because there was no real need for Yom Kippur. The only reason why we have to have a Yom HaKippurim is because of the Chet HaEgel. Yet the Psukim here talk about the Kippurim as if we already know about it. And the only reason we needed it was because of Chet HaEgel, which first happens in next week's parasha. And to try to understand all of this, and of course the connection to Purim, the Gemara tells us that Mevatlin Talmud Torah Mipnei Mikra Megillah, that if there's a choice, a person could be in the midst of the most difficult sugya in Shas. He's learning Be'iyun, Gemara Rashi, Tosfos, or he's learning Zohar, he's learning Kabbalah, whatever it is, he has to stop and take a break and go and hear the Megillah, which all Mefarshim ask, why? Megillah is Torah, and if he's in the middle of learning a piece of Torah, why should he have to take a break from what he's doing, from what he's learning, in order to hear the Megillah reading? And this is also discussed in this parasha as well, which the Baal HaTurim tells us by the Me'il. It says, V'nishma koiloi bevoya yel HaKodesh. We know that the Me'il made a lot of noise. And the bottom of the Me'il, which was one of the big day kahuna, there were pomegranates, golden pomegranates and golden bells that banged against one another and made a lot of noise so that everyone should know the Kohen Gadol was coming into the Mishkan. V'nishma koiloi bevoya yel HaKodesh lefnei Hashem uvetzeisoi v'layomus. Says the Baal HaTurim, Kedarka, he a lot of times he says this, it's called the Mesoira, he a lot of times connects words that are found in different psukim and he puts it together. So he says there are three Vinishmas. There's the Vinishma over here, there's Nasa Vinishma in Parashas Mishpatim, and then there's the Pasuk in Megillah, and of course this is the connection to Purim. Vinishma Pisgam HaMelech Asheyasa Bechol Malchusoi Ki Rabahu. That's towards the end of the first chapter of Megillah Esther, which is actually the advice of Memuchan, Haman, that Achashverosh should send out letters to all the people under his rule, that they should know that a man must rule in the house, which this is, the Gemara says, only proved that Achashverosh was a fool, because who doesn't know that? That's why later they didn't take his second letter seriously, the ones that he sent out to kill all the Jews. So there it says, V'nishma pisgam hamelech hashayasa b'chol malchusoi ki rabahi. Says the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim quotes this Gemara, Mevatlin Talmud Torah mipnei Mikra Megillah, and he says that Mikra Megillah is higher than Talmud Torah. And it's also higher and greater even than the Avodah of the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, because the Gemara says that even Kohanim who are in the midst of serving in the Beis Hamikdash must stop and go to hear the Megillah. So he says, V'nishma koile, this V'nishma is referring to the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. The Me'il was worn by the Kohanim, Kohen Gadol. Nasa V'nishma is Torah. And V'nishma Piskam HaMelech is talking about the Megillah. Ki Rabbah he says, because Rabbah happens to be the one in the Gemara who says this. Rabbah is the Amora who says that Mevatlin Talmud Torah B'Pnei Mikra Megillah. So he's merames it in the word Rabbah. From here we see, says the Chassam Sofer, that the Megillah has a higher level of Kedusha. We mentioned this, that the Megillah has a higher level of Kedusha than the Torah itself. And therefore one has to stop, no matter what he's learning, anything in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, or Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, or Shas, or Paiskim, Rishonim and Achrayim, you have to stop and go hear the Megillah, because the Megillah is a higher level of Kedusha. There's a sefer called Tur Varekis, which is a Talmud of Reb Chaim Vital. So he tells us that Torah is called in the Medrash Noivlois Chachma. It's not even the Chachma itself, it's just the Noivlois, that which, it's like a branch from a tree. A Noivl is that which comes out of a tree, that which drops what falls. It's just bits and pieces of what's real Chachma. It's not even the real Chachma itself. Torah is Noivlois Chachma. So the Tur Berekah says, and what's Chachma? Chachma, that's Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is the source of it all, which is a big chiddush. Most don't understand it that way, but perhaps the idea is, in the first pasuk of the Megillah we read, Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh ha-moylech me'hoidu v'yad kush. We know what the Medrash says, that even though no one knows where this Medrash is, but it's quoted by every single Mefirish, especially the Mekubalim, the Kamarna in the Sefer on the Megillah, it's called Kesem Ophir and other Svarim, that Achashverosh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash says Melech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but this particular Medrash that's quoted by the Mekubalim is that Achashverosh also refers to Hashem, Melech Sheho Acharis Vehoreshis Shelo, which is also a strange description of Hashem referring to him backwards, V'nahapochu. The Acharis before the Reishis. If anything, if that's what Achashverosh is, it should have been Rosh Acharis. Not Achash Rosh, but Acharis before the Reishis, but the Reishis before the Acharis. In history, first comes the Reishis, then comes the Acharis. You don't start a book by the end. You read first from the beginning. And the Pasuk says, HaMoylech. So Chazal tell us that he ruled HaMoylech Me'atzmoy. Rashi quotes this Chazal. There are two interpretations in the Gemara. He ruled on his own, which means he was not Mizera HaMalucha. His father was not a king. His father just was a janitor. But that's what Vashti made fun of. Who were you to tell me what to do? You don't even come from a royal family like I do. How did he rule? So he ruled on his own, either because he was very wealthy, or because he married Vashti and he got into the royal family, but he was a Melech Me'atzmai. That's Pashup Shat in this Chazal. Now we know that everything in the Megillah is also Merames to much greater, much Pnimius, and especially according to this Medrash that Achashverosh is Hashem. So what does it mean, HaMelech Me'atzmai? The difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Melucha and a king, a Basar Vadam, is that a human king must have who to rule over. If a king has absolutely no servants, he's no minions, and he's not a king. Ein melech beloy am. That's the famous quote. I don't know if it's a chazal, but it's a quote in all the Svarim. Ein melech beloy am. You cannot be a king without a people. The only one who is a king, even without any people, without any creations at all, is Hashem himself. And that we say every single day. Every day, those who say Adonai Olam, which I believe all of us do, and many of us say it in the morning, and before we go to sleep, it's the end of Kriya Shema Shalamita. So we say, Adoin Olam Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. That means Hashem ruled before anything was created. Who did he rule over? No one. Because he is the true king. He is the Melech Be'etzem. Etzem means the Atzmus HaMelech. He is the real king. The essence of kingdom belongs to him. That's HaMelech Me'atzmai. Hu HaChashverosh HaMelech Me'atzmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Atzmus HaMelucha. He doesn't need anyone to rule over, because he is the true king. B'terem kol yitzir nivra. Then we say, le'eis na'asa b'cheftzoi koil, that after he created everything, then azai melech shemoi nikra. Then he's also called king, which is one of the reasons why Hashem created the world, as all the Sifri Hakira write, so that there should be those who recognize him, because Hashem himself, there's no one to recognize. Hashem created a world because he wanted that there should be creatures who recognize who he is, call him king. So he has a name, Shmoy Nikra. But Be'etzem, when Hashem first created the world, Bereishis Bara Elohim, there was no one else. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Yachid Ba'ilamai, the first day of creation, when it says, Vayihi Erev Vayihi Vayke Yom Echad, not Yom Rishon, but Yom Echad. As Rashi says, he was a Yachid Ba'ilamai. There was no one else, no creation yet. The creation first happens later. On the first day, there's no life yet. No one to rule over. So Bereishis Bara Elohim is Begematria. Asher Molach B'terem Kol Yitzir. Bereishis Bara Elohim, that was the time when Molach B'terem Kol Yitzir. There were no creatures yet. There was no one that was created. It was Etzem HaMalchus. Later, in order to be called Melech, Hashem created creatures, animals, malachim, people, so that he's also referred to as king. This later manifests itself in the Torah. The Torah is Shmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means the Torah that we have today, as the Ramban, at the beginning in the Hakdam, in the introduction to Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Ramban has a lengthy discourse where he quotes this quote. Again, it's not a Chazal necessarily, but this is quoted by Rishonim and Kadmonim. Kol HaTorah Kula Shmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is names of Hashem. Because the Torah that we have today is the lower level. It's the level of Torah that is associated with Hashem's name. Meaning, after creation, Azai Melech Shemoy Nikru, after Hashem is called by a name is only needed so that someone should know how to refer to you. A person needs a name. How do I call you? But the person himself is not his name. The name is just a description. The name is just to be able to refer to him. Hashem himself has no name. Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha, Anoichi I. Then there's Hashem Aleikecha. But we have to refer to him, so we call him by a name. The Torah that we have today is Shmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah of La'asid Lavai is Hashem himself. That's Atzmus HaMelucha. That's connected to the level of Hashem Molach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. That's Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, that which was revealed on Purim, which does not have Hashem's name once in it, which all Mefarshim ask, how come Hashem's name is not mentioned even one time in the entire Megillah? So the Ibn Ezra gives one teretz, the famous teretz, because they were afraid it would get into the wrong hands. Persians would take it, they wouldn't treat it properly, they would put it in a degrading place, so they purposely did not put Hashem's name in the Megillah. Obviously, there are more reasons to it than just that. The reason why Hashem's name is not in the Megillah is because the Megillah is higher than Hashem's name. It's the level of Torah that is associated with Hashem himself, therefore that's greater than the Torah itself, which the Torah is Shmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the source of it. This is the Bechina of Hashem Molach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. And the Tvar Pella, an amazing remez to this, is what we're going to be reading Purim morning, at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kesoiv Zois Zikoroin Basefer. Please write this as a remembrance in the book. Kesoiv Zois Zikoroin Basefer. So the Gemara in Megillah says that this is referring to all the times in Chumash and in Tanakh where it talks about Mechias Amalek. And there are four times altogether. There's B'Shalach, there's the end of Kiseitze, which is Parashat Zachar. Then there's in Shmuel, which is going to be the Haftorah this week, where it talks about the story of Shaul and Agag. The fourth time is Megillas Esther. Kesov, Zoz, Yikaron, Basefer. Each word is four words here. Each one refers to one of the four episodes that in the Torah and in Navi and in Ksuvim that talk about Mechias HaMolek. The final one is Basefer. That's, of course, Megillas Esther. V'nichtav Basefer. Esther begged that her Sefer should be written. The four words Ksoiv Zois Zikorein Basefer are begematria exactly Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, because Megillas Esther is rooted in Hashem himself, who is a Melech before he created anyone, before he was even called Melech, before there's such a concept of a name. The Torah is Hashem's name. Megillas Esther, which is the source of, which is even higher than that, that's Hashem himself. That's why Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. This also manifests itself in Moshe Rabbeinu. Because who's the deliverer of the Torah? The one who delivers the Torah to Klal Yisrael. The one who is the intermediary between Hashem and the Jewish people. Anoichi oimed bein Hashem uveinechem. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is always Moshe Rabbeinu. Even now. Besides that we say, Ispashtusa the Moshe b'chol dorav, and that every generation there is a Moshe Rabbeinu. But also have Moshe Rabbeinu himself is the one who gave us the Torah, and since he is the source of Torah, that means through him comes both levels of Torah. Him, he revealed to us the revealed part of the Torah, which is the Torah that we have today. Moshe kibul Torah miSinai, Torah tzivolanu Moshe. That's the Torah that we have today that is associated with Hashem's name, just like it's associated with Moshe's name. It's Zichru Torahs Moshe Avdi. The Torah is called by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Torahs Moshe. Which part of the Torah is Torahs Moshe? That's the revealed part of the Torah, the part that is associated with Hashem's name, Azai Melech Shemoi Nikra. But then there's the part of Torah that will be revealed in the future. There's the part of Torah that was revealed on Purim, and on Hanukkah as well, because Hanukkah and Purim, as we'll see, are intertwined, which is also one of the questions that many ask. What is Chanukah doing here? The first two psukim of Tetzaveh have to do with Chanukah. The Atat Tetzaveh is B'nai Yisrael V'yikhu Eilech Hashem and Zayizach. This is really out of place. Not only are all these psukim that we mentioned before out of place, but why are we talking about Chanukah now when it's Purim? Chanukah and Purim are intertwined. Chanukah and Purim, in B'loshon of the Sifrei Kabbalah, one is Netzach and one is Hod. Netzach and Hod go together. Those who say Pasach Eliyahu, before Mincha Erev Shabbos, and Pasach Eliyahu, some say it every day before davening, there it says, Netzach v'hoid, train yarchin d'kshoit. The Netzach and Hod are called the two legs. Those two spheres are intertwined. That's why there's a machlokes in the Mekubalim. Which one is Netzach, which one is Hod? Some say Chanukah is Netzach and Purim is Hod. Some say Purim is Netzach and Chanukah is Hod, because they're really one and the same. He Esther Bas Doido, is Begematria B'mei Matis Yohu Ben Yoichanan. What happened on Chanukah and what happened on Purim goes together. That's why we talk about Chanukah here too, as we enter into the days of Purim. Chanukah and Purim are one Bechina. Both of these Yomim Tovim were times when the part of Torah that was revealed in these two Yomim Tovim are associated with the future. Chanukah, as we know, is the Yom Tov of Eight, that is the Yom Tov that is associated with L'Menatzeach al Hashminis, of Kinar Shel Mashiach Shel Shemayna Nimen, L'Mayla Menateva, the number eight, which is associated with Mashiach, the future, the defying logic. Purim, although Purim is Teva, and the whole Purim was a Nes Alpi Teva, But Purim in many ways is higher than Chanukah, especially now that we're talking about Purim, so we stress the greatness of Purim over Chanukah. Because by Purim we say, Vimeha Purim ho'ele lo yavrum mitoicha Yehudim v'zichram lo yosef mizaram. Purim is rooted at the beginning of time. Purim is Bereshis. Bereshis is begamachshi v'ayhi b'meyach ha'shveirosh. Purim is rooted at the time when Hashem was Melech before he was called Melech, before shame. Before Azai Melech Shemay Nikra. Hashemolach b'terem kol yitzia nivra. Hamoylech me'atzboi. He's not Mizera HaMelucha. Meaning, he's a Melech, not because before him there was a Melech. There's no one before Hashem. Hashem is the Kadmon. Hashem was always here. There's no one before him. And there's no one after him. So he's a Melech Be'etzem. He's HaMelech Me'atzmai. And the Megillah is hinting this to us right at the beginning, the first Pasuk, Vayihi B'me'ach HaShveirosh, Hu HaShveirosh, HaMelech. You should know that the Megillah Esther is rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as where he was a Melech Be'etzem, HaMelech Me'atzmai, before he even had a name. Purim is the Yomtif that defies logic, because Purim has no Seder. We know that on Purim, it's V'nahapoichu. Contrary to Pesach, even on Purim we start preparing for Pesach, on Purim we're supposed to start learning Hilchus Pesach. It's 30 days before Pesach. They're opposites. Pesach, there's a Seder. Literally, a Seder. Pesach has an order. Everything is done everything is consecutive. You have this, you have Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. You can't mix it up. It can't be out of order. Pesach cannot afford to be a Yom Tov of V'nahapochu, because Pesach is not V'nahapochu. Pesach is a Yom Tov of Seder. Pesach is da'as. Pesach makes sense. It's logical. In fact, matzah, it says, when a person eats matzah, he develops knowledge of Hashem. Just like it says, a child does not know how to say father. Ein ha-tinok yodea likros abba atche yitom tam dogon, says the Gemara in Brachas. That's one of the opinions, that the Eitz Hadas, tree of knowledge, was a chita, was a wheat kernel. Because a child does not know how to say tati, mommy, father, mother, until he tastes beech nut, until he has grain, until he has cereal, which is wheat, barley, chita. So therefore the Eitz Hadas, it's called das, according to that opinion, it was a chita. Pesach is when we recognize Hashem. Pesach is when we say tatam, father, answer me the four questions. Tata doesn't only mean father, it means also father in heaven. We recognize that Hashem is Avinu Shebashamayim, because we eat the matzah, we eat the grain, so it intensifies our das. So Pesach is the Yom Tov of das. Matzah is called Fatir in Aramaic. Fatir, which is father. Yom Tov of Pesach, we recognize that Hashem is our father. We come to a higher level of das. Purim is not that way. Purim is ad delo yoda. Purim is a Yom Tov where there is no knowledge. Chayav inish lipsumei bepuria. We're supposed to dull our minds. We're supposed to, if anything, weaken the mind and intensify the emotion. That's what Yayin does. Nichnas Yayin, yotza soy. There is no das on Purim. That's why everyone is equal on Purim. The Acharis with the Reishis. The Oni and the Oshir. Mei hoidu viat kush. No matter whether you're a Hoidu Jew, whether you're a Fashvarzda Jew, a Hoidu, which means a beautiful Jew, or a black Jew, everyone's the same on Purim. There's absolutely no favoritism on Purim. Everyone is exactly the same. When it comes to Adalo Yoda, bottom line is, we all know nothing. And no matter how much we think we know. Bottom line is, Lo Yoda. Purim, therefore, is the opposite of Pesach. That's why it's an amazing thing that Purim, in order for us to be zocher to Purim, literally, Pesach had to be nullified. And that's what Mordechai did. Vayava Mordechai. Mordechai and Esther ordered that we do not eat matzah on that Pesach. No Dalet Kaisis. They fasted 3 days in a row. Yudalet, Tezvav, Tezayin, Nisan. Which was a major issue in all the Mefarshim. How were they allowed to do that? They were Mavata La Mitzvah. Eis lasos l'Hashem heiferu toirasecha. It was an eis lasos, it was necessary. Heiferu. Purim al shem hapur. Hapur is the same letters as heiferu. There had to be a bittel. In order to be zochah to a new level of Torah, there had to be a bittel before that. The Gemara says, mitzvahs betelois la'asid lavoid. La'asid lavoid, mitzvahs will be nullified. Of course, it doesn't mean literally chas v'shalom, because one of the Yud Gimel Amimamas is that Torah is forever. Zos ha-Torah loy tehe muchlefes. It means there will be a higher level of... the Talmud Yaakov Yosef writes, it means there will be no tzivuyim, means there will be no need for any commandments, because on our own we'll come to the Ratzon Hashem. Everyone will be masig the Ratzon Hashem on their own. Well, I said, love it when there won't be a Yetzirah. So mitzvah is betelis. There'll be no mitzvahs. So a bechina that occurred on Purim when they were mevatel the mitzvah of matzah and dalit kaisos. There was sort of no Pesach that year. They were mevayev the chametz. That we know they did because it says that that's what Esther was busy doing when Mordechai asked Hasach, what's Esther doing? So the Medrash says she's cleaning her room for Pesach. She's getting rid of the chametz like most women do before Pesach. So she's vacuuming, whatever she's doing. She's cleaning up the room for Pesach. She's cleaning up the palace for Pesach. But eventually that Pesach, there was no matzah. There was no, which matzah brings us to Da'as. There were no Dalet Kaisais. There was a bittul of Pesach, which Pesach is the yomtiv of Seder. Purim, there's no Seder. Because the highest level is when there's no Seder at all. We find in Chumash, that ein seder muktam u'me'ucher b'torah. The Torah is not written in order. Now, usually, that's a sign of someone who you say is not mesuder. It's not a positive thing to say about someone. But when it comes to the Torah, we find it right in the first pasuk of Chumash, bereishis bara elokim eis hashamayim ve'eis ha'aretz, where Purim is rooted. Here, Rashi tells us that this was not written in order because water came before. Shamayim is a combination of Eish and Mayim. So it says at the beginning, Hashem created Shamayim and Aretz, but that can't be, Rashi says, because water had to be before. So here Rashi says that Loilimeid Hamikra Beseder Hamikdomim Vahamulchorim Klum. This pasuk is not telling you anything in order. Rashi says it before too. He says, the Torah is not telling you here the order. There's no order here. At the beginning of Chumash, this part of the Torah, which is the beginning of creation, when Hashem is one, Yom Echad, when Hashem is one, at that time, there's no order. That's where Purim is rooted. Purim is the yomtiv of no order, not because it's a messy holiday, or it's because it doesn't make sense. It's l'maylam and adas. It's adalo yada. It's rooted at the beginning of creation, which is not beseder. It's yom echad. That's why we find in the Megillah it says, "Be yom echad, b'shloisha asar l'chaydesh neim asar hu chaydesh adar." The pasuk is madgish more than once that Purim occurs be yom echad, rooted in the yom echad of the bria of Bereishis. That's where Purim is rooted. Perhaps we could say that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the giver of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Purim when he said Mechenina. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, erase my name, Moshe Rabbeinu was referring, as Mefarshim say, to his death. Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to the time when he will not be here physically. So what will we have? We won't have the chitzonius of Moshe, we'll have his pnimius. As the Vilna Gaon is Merames, that in Moshe Rabbeinu, although his name does not appear in Tetzaveh, but the helem of his name, the hidden part of his name, that's the miloy of Moshe Rabbeinu, is there. If you take the word Moshe, the mem is mem mem, the shin is shin yud nun, and the hey is hey aleph. So you're left, if you take away the words mem shin hey, the letters mem shin hey, you're left with the inside of Moshe, which is mem aleph yud nun, which is equal to 101. That's how many psukim Tetzaveh has. Tetzaveh has 101 psukim, equal to the miloy of Moshe Rabbeinu's name, meaning bechitzonius Moshe doesn't appear here. His name is not here on the outside. What is here is his essence, his pnimius, the inside, that which we do not see. That's the part of Torah that is hidden. The part of Torah again that is rooted in Adonai Ve'el Mashamolach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Niv. That's Me'ayin. The pasuk says in Iyo, V'Hachochma Me'ayin Timotzei. The Chachma originates from Ayin. Ayin is the highest level. Ayin means nothing, and sometimes it could literally mean nothing, but here we're referring to the level of Ayin. May Ayin Yovai Ezri, we say in Shir HaMalos. Shir HaMalos, Ezri Meyim Hashem, Osei Shamayim V'Oz. But before that we say, May Ayin Yovai Ezri. As Mefarshim say, the real Ezer comes from the level of Ayin. Yesh May Ayin. Ayin is higher than Yesh. And at the beginning of creation, it was Yesh Me Ayin. The Ayin is higher than the Yesh. The goal is to reach the level of Ayin. That's the level that we reach on Purim. That's the miloy of Moshe Rabbeinu's name is Mem, the Mem Mem, Shin Yud Nun Hey Aleph is Mei Ayin, which is 101, how many psukim there are in Parshas Tetzaveh. That was revealed when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mecheini, Ve'im Ayin Mecheini Nam Yisivcha, the Pasuk says. In order to reach the level of Ayin Mecheini Nam, Moshe says, erase my name, erase, no, there's no more name, we go higher than a name now, we go to the Pnimius of Moshe, the Etzem of Moshe Rabbeinu. From there, we're going to be Zeichet to Purim. Because this all happens after the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel, L'cha'iru, there should be no kapara for the Chet HaEgel. After the Chet HaEgel, Hashem says he's wiping out Klal Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mecheinina, Moshe Rabbeinu introduces, Moshe Rabbeinu reveals that tshuva is possible, and it's possible even after the Chet HaEgel, that we can still be Zeichet to even a higher level of Torah, to tshuva, which by tshuva it says, Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Moichef Shoecha Lamani. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. That since Klal Yisrael violated the Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, they had to come on to a double Anoichi. Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Moichef Shoecha Lamani. Which those words are Begamatria Bereshis. That's rooted at the beginning of creation. Already at the beginning of creation, before anyone was created, Hashem already prepared the concept of tshuva, that it's possible that even if a Yid does a chet, he could still return. That's by Yehibi Me'ach HaShveirosh, is B'gamatri Anoichi Anoichi Hu Moichef Shoecha Lama'ani. Purim was Megala even more than that, that even after a Chilul Hashem, it's possible to do tshuva. As Svarim tell us, the Rashab, the Rebbe Rashab, in one of his Maimorim, writes this, that on Purim we are Zoichet to a Tikkun for Chilul Hashem, which Yom Kippur doesn't accomplish. On Yom Kippur, there's no Tikkun for Chilul Hashem. We know that. The Gemara says, Chilul Hashem, only Misa helps. But on Purim, he says, we were zeichet to a tikkun for Chilul Hashem, because the hishtatfus, the participation by the party of Achashverosh, was a Chilul Hashem. And yet, Klal Yisrael were saved, and they were zeichet to the Nes of Purim and to Megillas Esther, which is read Berabim, Beroiv Am, which is the Inyan of Kiddush Hashem. Chilul Hashem is Begamatri al Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is Mechaper for the Chilul Hashem that took place by the hishtatfus of Suda of Achashverosh, where you don't find anywhere in Shas that anything other than Misa is Mechapa for Chilul Hashem. And Be'emes, there was Misa by the Megillah, because it says that Haman, his intention was Lahashmit Laharoig Abid is Kol HaYehudim in Avi Adzokei. By a Goy, the Machshava of a Goy is considered like action. And the fact that Haman wanted to wipe out all the Jews is considered as if he actually did it. So all the Jews died. The Pnimius, all the Jews Takla died. And there was Eichet Atchias HaMesim, as it says at the beginning of the Roikeach brings down a medrash, which Reb Chaim Kanievsky on the bottom says he doesn't know where that medrash is. If he says he doesn't know where it is, obviously it doesn't exist right now. He says, Loi Motzasi. But the Roikeach quotes it, and the Roikeach says, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Kol Mokoim Shenema Vayehi Einoi Ela Tchias Hamesim. He says, whenever it says Vayehi Bimei, it's a form of Tchias Hamesim. He says that Mordechai was Mechaye Mesim, spiritually, because the Jews really experienced Misa. They were all, there was a plot to kill all of them. And like the Machshava of a guy is Kemaisa, so it's considered as if they all died. So Purim was a Bechin of Tchias HaMesim. Who says this? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Shimon ben Yochai is Begamatria Mechaya Mesim, Ki Yodua. Shimon ben Yochai, he was the Tana of Tchias HaMesim. And he reveals that Purim is the Yomtav of Tchias HaMesim. In fact, it's known that Purim and Lag Ba'omer go together. Purim always falls out the same day as Lag Ba'omer. It's the same Bechina. Vayihi B'meach HaShveirosh is B'gematria Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was Megala that Purim is a Bechina of Tchias HaMesim. So there was Misa, and therefore it was Mechapa for the Chilul Hashem of the Hishtatfus by the party. Based on all of this, there's a lot in this, and we don't have all the time to go to it, maybe next week. We can understand perhaps why this parsha is written out of order. This parsha is totally out of order because this is the parsha of Purim. This is the parsha that takes us into Purim. This is the parsha of Mecheinina, which means this is the parsha of the Pnimius of Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah Tzivolanu Moshe goes on the Torah of today, which is connected to his name. Tetzaveh is the parsha without Moshe's name. Tetzaveh is the Pnimius of Moshe, the Helam, the Miloy of his name, which is Me'ayim, which is equal to 101, which is how many psukim this parsha has. The Gemara even says that you can't compare a person who learns Torah 100 times to a person who learns Torah 101 times, meaning the Torah learned 101 times is a totally different Torah. It's the Torah of La'asid Lava, the Achachma Me'ayim Timotzei. It was necessary for Vashti to be killed in order to be zayicha to this level of Torah, because Vashti, as the Svarim tell us, Vashti is oisius yeshus, the opposite of ayin. Vashti is yeshus, gaiva, chametz. She had to be eradicated, she had to be annihilated, she had to be killed. Yeshus, gaiva, chametz had to be removed in order to be zayicha to v'hachoch m'mei ayin timotzei. Vashti is begematria v'hachoch m'mei ayin timotzei, because she's the hepech of v'hachoch m'mei ayin timotzei. So in Tetzava we have this Bechina of Ayin, this level of Torah, which is the level that will be revealed La'asid, which is the level that we get a taste of on Purim, which is rooted in Hashem Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, where Hashem does not have a name. This Pasha, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have a name. The Mechenina is fulfilled Dafka in this Pasha before Kisisa. It's out of order, Dafka out of order, because Purim has no Seder. Purim is rooted back at the beginning of Chumash, where Rashi tells us there is no Seder. There's no Seder in Torah. The level that we have today has at least some Seder, but the Torah of La'asid Lavi has no Seder at all. That's the Bechina of Ada La'yada, which one day we will understand it. In the future we will, but right now it's La'yada. Tetzava is totally out of order, and it ends with what? It ends with Kippurim, which Kippurim, and we know that Yom HaKippurim and Purim are the same Bechina. It says twice at the end of the Pasha, Achas Bashona. Achas Bashona, Midam Chatas HaKippurim, Achas Bashona Yechaper Olav, says the Imre Emes. One is referring to Yom Kippur and the other is referring to Purim, which Purim is even higher than Yom HaKippurim. Just as the Kayan Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, in the Megillah Esther goes into Achashverosh Beratzain, even though it was Ashalei Kados, she wasn't called, she goes into the Chotzer HaPenimius, which is the Bechina of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Every Yid on Purim experiences the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Orain, which the Orain, as we mentioned last week, Makom Orain Einam and Amida, it defies logic, it's Adalayod, that makes no sense. No Seder, it's Lamailam and Azman, Lamailam and Amokom, that's this Parsha. And the Parsha begins with Chanukah, because Chanukah and Purim are intertwined. They're both the same Bechina, both are the Bechina of La'asid Lavoi. This pasuk included Ushtei Shar Sharoi Zohav Tohar. This pasuk that we mentioned, which is also out of order, refers to the Shar Sharois, which are the chains that Rashi says are Miloshen Shoyresh, root, like the Shoroshim of a tree, keep the tree attached to the ground. These chains kept the Choshen attached to the Eifor, and this is of course what Achashverosh and Haman wanted to uproot, the Shoyresh of Klal Yisrael. Achashverosh is Miloshen Shoyresh. The Pintali Yid, the Panemius of every Yid is what they wanted to eradicate, and that was Nizgala on Purim, that every Yid has a Panemius that cannot be touched. Heim Layosu El Lefonim. Time is running out. We should be Zaychataka to all these Bechinais on Purim, Kalapashit Yad Naisnale on Purim. You could ask for whatever you want. Every one of us should be able to be Mispala for whatever we want. Whatever we need, Panasa, health, Shaduchim. Hashem Yamale Kol Mishalos Levavenu L'Toyva. This Purim, we should all be zeichet to hear the Megillah in the Bayis Hashlishi.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.